Welcome to a new season of Conflict Coach with Dr. Emily Taylor. I'm a mediator, developmental psychologist, conflict resolution teacher, and mom of five. And just like you, I've had my fair share of conflict. Over time, I've realized conflict isn't something to fear. It's simply part of life. What matters is how we respond and if we have the tools to handle it with confidence and care. And that's what this podcast is all about. In each episode, you'll hear me coach someone through a real conflict they're facing. You'll listen as they share their story, and I'll guide them towards solutions that align with their goals and values. Along the way, I'll point out skills and strategies you can use in your own life, whether at work, at home, or in your other relationships. So whether you've been with us since season one or you're brand new, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Let's jump in. Today, I'm coaching Naomi, who has a deep disagreement with her father about religion. Naomi, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, do you mind just telling me a little bit about what brought you here?
Yeah, okay. So I am a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And originally, my dad brought me to church. So I'm a second generation, and he is a convert to the church. But as time went, he kind of distanced himself from church, and it's been about more than 10 years since he kind of like took some time, a little break. And so because of that, I sometimes try to have some time with him to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, just to remind him of what it's like to live in the gospel. But whenever I do that, maybe it's about my tone or how I describe, how I try to explain this to him. He kind of like tends to shut out everything I say, just saying like, I don't want to argue with you, so please don't talk about this right now. And I don't know what to do at that point, because I obviously also don't want to argue with him. I just genuinely want to share what I believe in hope that he will remember what it felt like when he first believed in the gospel. But actually, it happened very recently when I was also, again, trying to share my testimony. And he said, like, you're trying to persuade me. And I believe that is not how Jesus Christ would try to bring me back. And I was confused, because I always believed, like, persuasion is the way, like, it is different from arguing. But I don't know, maybe my dad and I have different definitions of persuasions, but he thought it was too much for him, so he didn't want to listen to what I said. So yeah.
Okay, so just tell me why you think he stopped going. Like, what's the story that you tell? Like, what do you know about why he stopped going?
There are several reasons. One is that he wanted to get married with a member of the church, but he couldn't. And he thought that was like one of his ultimate blessings in life, like to get married with a church member. And he thought he did his best, because he served a mission in the church and he was doing what he was asked to do. So he thought like he was on the right path. And all of a sudden, what he always desired, the marriage with a church member, didn't come true. He felt like, what is the point in believing and following all of these commandments if I could not get what I wanted?
So he's had a pretty big disappointment.
Very, very big, because he still talks about it to this day.
Okay. Tell me why this is so upsetting to you, that your father has chosen to pull away.
I think it's because, first and foremost, I know that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings me joy. And it's just not like any other kind of joy, but it's eternal and like it lasts long. But knowing that my dad is feeling distant from the gospel life, I can see that he's not unhappy, but the fact that he still talks about his regrets and like disappointment of his marriage, that kind of hurts for me. Like, I want him to understand that through the gospel of Jesus Christ, I feel a sense of peace that nothing else could bring me, like, despite all the disappointments that we've had.
Okay. So aside from religion, what's your relationship like with your dad?
Oh, it's actually very great. I'm like the closest with my dad. And dad also agrees. Like, he feels like more easier to talk to and share common interests the most in the family. So we have very solid relationships. Like, I actually talk to him every day.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Oh, okay. This is a very close relationship.
I know.
Okay.
It can sometimes last for hours. So we kind of love talking with each other. And I share everything that happened that day with my dad. And I obviously share with him the miracles that I've experienced. And so I tell him, like, remember all these miracles that happened in your life, in my life. It's nothing else can explain it other than God's miracles.
Okay, so you share openly with him. In the back of your mind, you're hoping that what you share will change his behavior.
Yes.
Yes?
Uh-huh.
Okay, friends, let's pause for a minute. I'm guessing you have someone in your life that you wish could just see things the way you do. Maybe it's about religion, like Naomi, or it's about politics, or how the dishwasher should be loaded. We all have countless strongly held convictions, and we wish others would feel the same way. But the skill I want to introduce to you here is to understand the difference between persuasion and manipulation. We often treat persuasion and manipulation like they mean the same thing, but there are actually meaningful differences between the two. Persuasion is about mutual understanding and relies on reason, credibility, and emotional connection to help someone see your perspective while still respecting their freedom to disagree. Manipulation, on the other hand, aims to shape the thoughts, feelings, and behavior of another person through coercive means. Coercive methods, even if well-intentioned and gently delivered, that rely on guilt, deception, social pressure, or threats, will likely backfire. Most of us are pretty good at recognizing when someone is trying to pressure us to do or to feel a certain thing, and we don't like it. So recognize your approach in a conflict. Are you trying to be persuasive while still respecting their choice? Or are you simply trying to get someone to agree with you? As we head back to the session, I'm going to see if I can help Naomi understand this difference and discover something that's been missing from her previous conversations with her father. Let's jump back in. If your central concern is that this person experiences peace and happiness, I think we actually have a lot of tools of persuasion that are not based on the power of your convincing arguments. We often think, and in different cultures it's different, at least in American culture, there's a huge emphasis on words. I'm going to write a convincing letter. I'm going to prepare what I'm going to say to my dad, and I'm going to, like, think through it all, and then I'm going to hope that, you know, the spirit of God comes in and is like, yes, right? Like, and then this person is kind of convinced. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting switching gears to this different path of how could my father feel loved?
Mm-hmm.
Are there things that you can think of in your mind right now that you believe your father needs, that there are ways that you could love him?
That's actually been a big, big question in my life recently, because I feel like I obviously never forget to tell him how much I love him, and he knows that. But I want more than that. You know, I want to, like, through the love that I show him, I want him to feel God's love, but it seems to be difficult to make that connection for him. He just thinks that I'm being very kind and loving to him.
Oh, but your motive is what? That you're wanting him to love God?
Yeah, I mean, obviously both. Like, I genuinely love him.
Sure.
But I also, like, especially recently, like, within these few years, I've been intentional that he can actually feel God's love. So I'm trying to figure out, like, specifically how I can make that connection for him. Like, the love that I show him is actually from me and from God. both ways.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Did you notice what language you just used right now?
I didn't.
I'm going to remind you. I want you to think about it. Not telling you what to do, but just think about it. I've been trying to figure out how I can help him make the connection between my love and his love, which is not a bad goal, but the idea that it's kind of like your job to do, like, again, a relationship, a faith relationship with God is him,
mm-hmm.
right? Having that relationship.
Right.
This idea of, I just heard it recently, but it was like, let God do God's work and let you do the work of a family member, whether that's a mom, a sister, a brother, and kind of like collectively, that person's like, there's influence, but there's still freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if we switch gears quickly?
Yeah.
I want you to imagine you just had this recent conversation that didn't go as you would have liked.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit frustration on both parts.
Yeah.
Imagine you're going to have another conversation with him about what happened in that conversation that was hard for you. Pretend I'm your dad.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want him to know?
I want him to know that I'm probably sorry about how he might have felt hurt because of what I've said.
What did you say that you think might have hurt him?
Just, I feel like I didn't fully took into account what he is feeling. I was just constantly full on shouting, not shouting, but it was just me talking. And he was constantly saying, no, 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 like, not now. Like, I don't want to argue. But I just didn't listen to him, like, because I could have stopped there, definitely.
Okay, I'm gonna have you pause.
Yeah.
I'm your dad. Can you tell it to me as okay. if I'm him? So speaking, even addressing me. I know it sounds weird, but we're going to practice it.
Okay, Dad, now that I reflect about what happened that day, I feel like I should have listened to you more about each of the things that I said to you. I did not give you time to say your opinion or what you are concerned about or what is troubling your mind. And I want to say sorry for that, for not being patient with you. And
then this is beautiful. We talk about, in a religious sense, making restitution, mm-hmm. kind of like revising what we did that didn't work right.
Mm-hmm.
How in that conversation could you then try to revise it? If you didn't listen before, is it possible you could offer that opportunity?
Okay. This actually kind of gave me an idea.
Okay.
That, because I feel like I've listened to his stories thousands and thousands of times. And okay. that's why I was probably feeling like this time it's my turn to tell him like what I want him to know. And that's why I've been so aggressive.
Because, okay, so like, you had held it in. Like, and this was like, I'm not going to hear this one more time. Like, you need to hear me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it sounds like there's an apology, but there's also a continuing need on your part to be able to share where you're coming from.
Yeah, I feel like it can't be one way or another, like just me continuously listening to his sad stories or just him having to listen to me just yapping at him.
When you know someone really well, like Naomi and her father know each other, it can be easy to forget our active listening skills. We've had these conversations so many times. We've heard each other's stories over and over, and in the back of our minds, we're thinking we know everything there is to know about the other person's experience and thoughts. Why bother listening for new details now? Instead, we're focused on what we're going to say next. We're focused on getting our own point across, rather than making sure we are really understanding the other person's position. Active listening leads with genuine curiosity. We set aside the urge to be heard and focus completely on hearing the other person. Instead of jumping in with your own opinion after they've said their bit, you say something like, "So I'm hearing you say," and then restate their position in the most generous and positive way possible. And then you ask, Am I getting that right? Active, genuine, and curious listening will not only make the person you're talking to feel heard, but you'll find yourself having greater empathy for them, even if you're hearing about the same experience for the 1,000th time. Now, the caveat here is when you've already got an established track record of confrontation around a particular topic, shifting to a more curious, empathetic approach won't just happen on its own. It takes some careful planning and communication, which is Naomi's challenge as she hopes to change the tone of her conversations about faith with her father. So let's see how she might go about that.
If it was a reciprocal, like mutual exchange, what would that look like?
I feel like, at least we both need to have ears to listen to what we both have to say.
Okay.
Because when I listen to my dad's stories, I feel like he doesn't really give me space to have my opinion on them.
So if there's good listening happening, what are people doing? Like, what are the actual things that you would do or he would do that would make it a good listening experience?
We would ask, like, follow-up questions that will help us understand more about why they're feeling that way, trying to remove any biases that we have.
What's interesting, and this is just an aside, so I do a lot of civic dialogue, and what's interesting is the structure matters a lot. So when we bring people who have different opinions on the same topic, mm-hmm. which is the case right here, uh-huh. right? Maybe not completely different, but differing. We usually set ground rules and we put a structure around the conversation so it's safe. So after you've had kind of like an explosion either way, or where it's been really emotional or difficult, there's going to be a hesitancy mm-hmm. to talk about that topic again, right? Mm-hmm. But instead of not touching it, we touch it. It's kind of like almost like you get tongs or like it's a barbecue. Yeah. Like, you know, it's going to be hot, mm-hmm. but you're prepared to work around that. So what we do, at least in dialogue, is we take turns. Mm-hmm. We actually make the parties agree that they're having the conversation to understand the other person mm-hmm. and not to convince them of their position.
Mm-hmm.
So that alone kind of diffuses a lot of the tension and yeah. pressure. Right? Mm-hmm. We can put a lot of pressure on ourselves that somehow I've got to convince this person that what mm-hmm. they're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And you don't even have to say anything, but people feel that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like in the morning when I wake up my son and I'm like, get out of bed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even have to say it. But uh-huh. if I have a certain tone to my behavior, he knows I'm already annoyed with him. Uh-huh. Right? So in structuring a dialogue, again, we agree and we explicitly say, hey, Dad, I'd love to have a conversation with you about religion. I know it's been difficult in the past. I really actually would just like to understand where you're coming from
mm-hmm.
and then have the chance to share where I'm coming from
mm-hmm.
and that we're not trying to convince each other of anything. Is that something you'd be interested in doing with me?
Oh, yeah.
And then you say, okay, so then to make it happen, though, because you maybe don't have a mediator or a referee there, you just say, hey, like, just a couple things I think would be helpful for us is if after you share something, I just try to reflect back what I hear mm-hmm. without any judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And then are you okay if I ask some follow-up questions to see if I've understood you correctly?
Mm-hmm.
And you can correct me if I didn't get it right.
Right.
And then after you have a chance to speak, do you mind? I'd love to learn how to talk to you about religion in a way that's not so like conflictual or contentious.
Uh-huh.
Because I still have a lot of growing to do and kind of understanding what I think. And would you do the same for me? So when I share what I think or believe, do you mind summarizing what you hear me say and then just asking follow-up questions so we know that we're really understanding each other?
Wow. That's a great framework.
Isn't it interesting? But I think each of us, we want to be understood. And that idea of loving someone often begins with understanding them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a lot of love when people take the time to know what I really think about something.
Yeah.
And I don't feel pressured to shift to what they think, but they've taken the time to get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
There's natural fruits from kind of respecting each other's opinions.
Mm-hmm.
That people actually shift more on their opinions when they have an experience where they're actually listened to. Does this sound realistic?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel like that's like the very thing that was lacking in our conversations, because I always made an excuse like it's a very generational difference thing. Like I can never communicate with him because we have such different, like our brains are wired differently. But that like understanding and like repeating back what we understand about each other's stories, it's very crucial, especially I think it can even overcome this generational differences because we are checking in with each other. And yeah.
Any thoughts or takeaways from our conversation?
That's actually great. I mean, you know what? I'm going to be honest, but I've been having similar issues, not just with my dad, but with my other friends. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering how I can approach, like, in a very loving, charitable way. And I feel like this helps a lot in helping me not be very frustrated with the other person, and the other person also not being frustrated by me. Yeah, I feel like this could be applied to all my relationship issues.
I know. Well, Naomi, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Well, listeners, Naomi's right. The skills we've covered today can work in any relationship conflict. So let's review them quickly. First, know if you're using manipulation or persuasion. Think deeply. Am I trying to persuade someone through honesty, curiosity, and respect for their individual choice? Or am I trying to influence them through guilt, deception, threats, authority, or some other social pressure? Manipulative tactics may create short-term compliance, but will ultimately backfire. When trying to persuade someone of something of importance to you, avoid being too forceful and strive to become genuinely curious. Second, going along with being genuinely curious, become an active listener. Take time to hear everything someone else is saying, even if it's something you think you know well. Restate what you're hearing from them and ask if you're getting it right. Once you've gained a deeper understanding of their position this way, they'll be more open to hearing you out after they've felt heard by you. And finally, create a structure around difficult conversation topics. If you know a topic is contentious, set some ground rules, some quote, rules of engagement, if you will. We can't avoid difficult conversations forever, but we can create structure that makes them safer and more productive. This doesn't make the conversation rigid, but it ensures everyone's safety and respect is taken into account. After you've listened actively in this conversation, summarize what you've heard from them. After you've established that you understand them clearly, ask thoughtful follow-up questions. When this kind of structure is used, people tend to relax, perform less, and reflect more. It may still be uncomfortable, but it is a great opportunity for real connection.
Thanks for joining me today. If there's someone in your life who might benefit from listening to this episode, please share it. Because as I always say, it's not a question of if, but when we're going to experience conflict, and we do much better when we're prepared. The Conflict Coach with Dr. Emily Taylor is a BYU radio podcast. I'd love to connect with you on social media. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Conflict Coach with Dr. Emily, where I'm sharing more ideas for working through conflict. And if you or someone you know has a conflict that you'd like to discuss on the podcast, send me an email to conflictcoach@byu.edu. And next time, I'll be talking about how to level up your conflict resolution skills using highlights from previous episodes. I hope you'll join me.